for sure a great day to talk Blue Jays baseball.
Well, it really is, and let me commend Pat Henkin. I heard your interview with him, and he's so well-spoken. He's thorough. He's in and out with his answers. He's articulate. Mm-hmm. He's a tremendous ally and ambassador for the Blue Jays, and I'm glad you had him on. He was great.
Is this the biggest trade in Blue Jays history?
No, the biggest trade was bringing Carter and Alomar from San Diego, and that brought the World Series here. So this will be the first big trade and biggest trade for Alex Anthopoulos, no question. And but Pat Gillick kind of led the way there back in the day there in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm. Jerry Howarth here on Tim and Sid Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Can April 2nd get here fast enough for you, Jerry?
Well, it'll be fun, and the spring training schedule, too, is out. And February 24th is the first game in Dunedin, so that was a little bit of an early surprise as well. And you know, in all of this, too, Tim and Sid, I want to highlight Paul Beeston because Alex does get a lot of credit. But if you noticed, about a week or two ago, Paul Beeston signed a two-year extension. And I think he said to Alex, hey, let's do this together. I'm in with this. I'm in with you. And let's do this the right way. And so he gets a lot of kudos, too, for being the orchestrator of this with Alex making those key decisions.
The voice of the Toronto Blue Jays, Jerry Howarth, here on Tim and Sid. We've been blown away by the groundswell of support that's been shown to the Blue Jays. When's the last time you saw this fan base so enthused about the team?
Well, there have been moments where you look and you think, this is going to be the year. And I thought even 2 years ago when John Farrell came aboard, that was going to be the beginnings of a nice run. And with the injuries last year, it took away from a team that I think was very capable of winning 85 to 90 games. But when you have a splash like this, what you've done now is you've really seen the draft system and the work of Alex Anthopoulos and his scouts over the last 4 years, where you can trade Adani Echevarria, who he brought in as a youngster and so good and is going to be so very good, I think, in 3 or 4 years as you look back with the Florida Marlins. And then Justin Nicolino, one of 3 prize starters in East Lansing. Alex is able to keep the other 2. Henderson Alvarez at 22 last year pitched 180 innings, so that's a plus for the Marlins. But you can only make trades like this when you have quality coming up in your system, and the Blue Jays have not had that since, in my opinion, the Gillick years. And that's what made this special, was that now you're seeing not only Alex and his whole crew bringing in quality pitchers and players that people want, but Alex is like a stealth bomber, too, and he jumped on this opportunity, did it quickly with the Marlins, ends up pushing Yunel Escobar to probably the one city where he can play in with what he's gone through here this last year. And it's just a work of art. He was tremendous in this.
Jerry Howarth there on Tim and Sid Sportsnet 590 The Fan, discussing one of the biggest trades in the history of the Toronto Blue Jays, one of the bigger deals baseball has seen in a very long time. Jerry, word dropped yesterday around 6 o'clock, 6:15 Eastern. Where were you when you heard?
I was probably at basketball practice, where I'm going here in about an hour over to Etobicoke Collegiate.
Nice.
And when I heard it, what you have to do is you have to kind of take a step back, because I knew there was nothing final. I knew that there was a lot of money involved, close to $170 million. And I know that even right now it's not officially done. But when I began to see what the names were and they all hadn't come out, then you began to see that this was a very distinct possibility of happening. So in my own opinion, I saw Jose Reyes have a decent year last year. A lot of people kind of said, well, he didn't have much of a year. Well, he did. His on-base percentage was about .350, stole 40 bases in like 51, 52 tries, and walked more than he struck out. So there's your leadoff hitter, former All-Star. And remember, when these players come off so-so years with a last-place team and a manager in turmoil, that's a factor as well. Now they come to spring training next year with Jose Bautista and company, and they go to another level. So there's Reyes with 10 years, Josh Johnson, he's pitched 7 years, Burley's pitched 12 years in all 200 innings, Bonifacio's pitched, played in 4 major league seasons, John Buck 9. That's the kind of experience that I think now the Toronto fan base is seeing. Finally, this is what we're looking for. Rather than developing players toward developing a team, now they are relevant again. They're instant contenders. And it's going to be fun to watch because of that kind of experience, and there's no substitute for that kind of major league experience.
We had heard that they were willing to take on salary this year. Did it surprise you that it was close to $170 million in salary?
No, not really, and I think this gets back to Paul Beeston and Rogers, and don't be fooled. When there was this merger in the offseason, and people said, well, now the Blue Jays will get shoved off to the side. Not necessarily true, and whatever appears very simple on the surface is a lot more complex. So the Blue Jays have had a game plan in this, And they've got the money. Now they've got some experienced players. And even with Josh Johnson, I heard his agent's comments right there. Well, now look at it this way. Why would you move Josh Johnson, especially to a team like the Yankees, and have him beat you four or five times and then maybe re-sign with them when now he's not only the quality starter you want with Burley. That's what Alex was looking for, two quality starters. So when you get one, you don't quickly give it away. But look what Johnson can do. He can have a big year here with the Blue Jays while Drew Hutchison and Kyle Drabik fully recover from their elbow surgery for 2015. To me, it's a perfect plan, and I wouldn't move anybody in this situation right now.
Great point.
Jerry, the only thing I would say to that is, I mean, Josh Johnson would be coming up to be a free agent. And I know Alex loves his controllable contracts. It's something he prides himself on. He feels he has to do it. And he has a ton of them in this deal. The only way I could see Alex dealing with the Yankees is for that reason. If he really doesn't think that re-signing Josh Johnson is a serious possibility.
Well, I don't know if that has to be a serious possibility. And then this is just my opinion. If Josh Johnson comes here and he's in the clubhouse and other pitchers see him and he goes out there and nails 30 to 35 starts, he's done his job. Then you let the future take care of itself. Why now begin to diminish a starting rotation where now if you're looking at four and X, Y, or Z, then where do you go from there? So I kind of like the fact that Johnson's here, hopefully be a front runner in the ERA column. He's got an excellent background. He's already had his Tommy John surgery. And then I heard the two of you talking a little too about the catching. And right now, J.P. Arencibia is going into his third year. You've got behind him now a veteran of nearly 10 years, John Buck. And this Travis d'Arno, he's very, very good. So, again, I look at the fact that this is a blockbuster deal, and if Buck supports Arencibia this year, who continues to grow in that job both defensively and at the plate, now the next year you can bring d'Arno up and let him begin to support Arencibia. Now you have two outstanding catchers that grow together. I like that too.
Yeah, Jerry Howard here on Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I know it's a difficult question to answer, Jerry, but in terms of JP, and Tim and I were discussing it earlier, as you said, if you think Alex has a shot at getting a surefire number three guy in the rotation, or even higher, who knows, but the cost is JP, do you do it?
Well, isn't the number three guy in the rotation now Brandon Morrow?
Yeah, it's true.
You can argue who's where.
Romero is your fourth starter, looking at what he did last year, notwithstanding, and Jay Happ is your fifth starter. Why toy around with that? Why begin to mix that and start to try to do other things when you could have an injury in spring training to one of those five, and now you're right back in the same rut again? I personally don't see that. I see this as a strong five-man rotation, and if you go with Johnson and Burley with their experience, I have to give them the nod over Brandon Morrow, then I have to give Brandon the nod over Ricky Romero. That's a fearsome foursome right there, and then Jay Happ really was impressive down the stretch as a left-hander as well. So now you got three left-handers in your starting rotation, two strong right-handers. I like it.
It just seems like this move, Jerry, and correct me if I'm wrong here, was made to make the Blue Jays good now. And the way it's currently constituted makes them good now, so they don't have to make another move.
No, that's what you want. That's what the fans want here, too.
Yeah.
The Blue Jays are finally relevant again in the American League East, and to do it, they had to spend some money. And I think last year, too, John Farrell was hopeful that money would be spent. That's one thing he does see when he goes to the Boston Red Sox, the revenue streams that have produced money, that have produced quality players of a veteran expertise. Well, now, the Blue Jays have done that right now. They have spent the kind of money that other teams have spent, and that doesn't include Oakland. That's why Bob Melvin was the manager of the year. Look what they did out there with about $45, $50 million. But in the American League East, you have to spend money. So the Blue Jays have spent money. I've already talked about all the experience that they've gained right now, and the fans will see that when they go out from day one, and they'll begin to see players with that. And then look at the young players, too. Now, Brett Laurie goes into a second full year. He's surrounded now by these veterans. And instead of maybe having two rookies in the starting lineup, Echeverria at short and Anthony Ghost in left, now you have only one. That's Ghost. You can afford to have one rookie on the ball club, not two or not more than that. And I just like the mix overall with Ghost and Rasmus and Bautista, supported by Rajay Davis. One kid out there who's going to be a great player when it's all said and done, but no more than that. All the veterans stack up right up through the middle of the diamond, and that's where you want it.